Don't just ride the index, seek to outperform it with Fidelity Active ETFs. Learn more at fidelity.com/active ETFs. Before investing in any exchange-traded fund, you should consider its investment objectives, risks, charges, and expenses. Contact Fidelity for a prospectus, an offering circular, or if available, a summary prospectus containing this information. Read it carefully. While active ETFs offer the potential to outperform an index, these products may more significantly trail an index as compared with passive ETFs. Fidelity Brokerage Services, LLC, member NYSE, SIPC.
You guys know Sierra got married last year. It's a lot of work.
Oh boy, was it.
It's a lot to do. And one thing that really helped her figure out what to do first, where to access certain resources, how to get people to know where they were supposed to go for a wedding, Zola.
With Zola, you can discover venues and find vendors easily. You can message and book vendors right on their website. And truly, when I say that that was the first part that we had to do and also one of the most intimidating and hardest, it's so nice to just have them all listed right there and be able to talk to them right there and then.
They also have free planning tools, which is really helpful because you don't know what you don't know. And if when you go to Zola, you have a guest list manager, wedding website templates, a budgeting tool, because dang, can a wedding get out of hand real quick?
Mm-hmm.
It could all eliminate so much stress and you'll save so much time, all because it's like a one-stop shop.
That's so true. With Zola, you can plan your entire wedding in one convenient place. From the day you get engaged and search for the venue to the day you send out your save the dates, make your registry, and even taste your cake.
Zola has literally everything you need to make the whole process super easy and actually enjoyable.
There's even a 5-star app that helps you plan on the go or on your couch.
Start planning at Zola.com. That's Zola.com.
Hey guys.
I'm Jerry.
I'm Sierra.
We're ladies.
And we tangent.
Hey guys. We're back again.
We're back.
For shame, part two. Because nothing says happy holidays.
Like talking about shame and guilt. Actually, that's so true.
Honestly.
Because that's when I feel it the most, yeah. I feel. Especially around Christmas.
So we had said we were going to talk about it.
Yeah.
Again last week because you had another article. And then when we posted it.
Oh, man. Out of the woodwork, people came.
Yeah. Do you guys remember Lauren? Mm-hmm. TKO from our series that we talked about, Black Lives Matter. I think she was our first one that we had on. She had commented that... Oh my God, here it is. I feel guilty already. I feel shame already. One of two things. One, I pronounced her last name incorrectly after she had already told it to me. Immediately. Like we were talking beforehand. I'm like, what do you want to be introduced as? And then that's the other thing. I'm pretty sure yes. Their pronoun is they, them, their.
Yeah.
I don't believe that they identify as male or female.
Yeah.
And I just continued to call
She,
and it's now I feel so guilty, but I'm not going to cut this out and I'm
good.
Not going to tell Shane to start it over or something. My mouth is salivating because
no, that's important.
Something that they posted on our my throat just did this weird like gurgle thing.
Like a, I almost said
that
a
was
rabbit.
My anxiety gremlin in my throat.
<It's a> frog.
Yeah. They commented on it and were like, Brene Brown has this book,
mm-hmm.
And she is awesome with shame and guilt. Like, if you are going to talk about shame and guilt, this is who you need to look at. So I went and looked up. She has a couple TED Talks.
Yeah, and a couple books, right? We didn't get the mm-hmm. books, but mm-hmm. I know Allie tagged me in a bunch of things for her, and she was like, this is cool for the podcast. And I was like, girl, we are on
yeah,
it.
Yeah, yeah, yeah. Brene Brown also has her own
podcast
as well.
Yeah.
So if you're like me and don't read,
go listen.
It's not that I can't read or don't desire to read. It's a time thing. It's a time thing for me.
And if you are like, I'm somebody who really, really enjoys reading. Mm-hmm. But if it is something I'm not passionate or interested mm-hmm. in, it is
physically hard for me to read.
See, like, I will am read super if, interested.
Yeah. But yeah. I'll read something five times and then be like, I don't know what that says.
Well, that's my problem is I do that, but I'm tired.
Yeah.
So because I'm tired, I can't focus enough on what I'm reading. And then I feel like I don't have the energy that this deserves.
Yeah.
For me to give.
And like
to
you're
it.
Not going to read in the middle of the day. You have two right. small children.
Right.
Like,
sometimes I can't even do it at night because he screams in my face. Yeah. Like, hello, pay attention to me. And I'm like, I've read your book to you four times in a row.
Let me have my time.
And it's called Dad is a Superhero and I'm getting a complex. Okay.
Because mom needs a freaking break.
Right. Mom feels a little bit like a superhero as well. Okay. But her first TED Talk was about vulnerability, and then she talked about shame. And the reason I wanted to keep that beginning part in where I misgendered Lauren is because she talks about in shame, you have to, the only way to like confront shame is discomfort.
Yeah.
And like you have to be vulnerable enough to admit like I messed up.
Mm-hmm.
And she talks about how there was a call to action around the world with the whole discussion about race and how we can't tackle that without shame, without acknowledging privilege, without acknowledging we mess up sometimes when we speak.
Yes. And especially if you're somebody who's grown up and that's not been a like obviously we didn't grow up with that as like a center of, I don't know, just any of it. It's all kind of new that we've been messing up this long.
Right.
And that's okay.
Yeah.
Like, it's not our fault, first of all. But now if you continue to do it,
right,
knowing what's right and what's wrong, it is your fault.
Right.
Then you're doing it on purpose.
Right.
And so, you're going to fuck up with everything in life. So just like we said, whenever you mess up, when you yell at your kids on accident, when you have an, you know, an overload, just admitting you're wrong and then actively fixing it is makes you a better person.
She kind of talks about that a little bit.
Really?
Guys, here's the thing.
Jerry watched these and I didn't, by the way.
Well, it's not even that. It's that I took the lead because I wanted to talk about these videos. So I was like, hey, I'm going to watch the videos. I'm going to take notes. When I take notes, it looks like, honestly, I don't even know how to decipher these. I've already flipped to page two on the back to address something. So, like, none of this shit's in order. None of it is in complete sentences. This is basically, like, bullet points where I'm just looking and I'm like, oh, that's something I wouldn't say.
Yeah.
So if this is all over the place and jumbled, it's because it's coming from my head.
And that's okay because we're all having a rough time. So it's fine.
Yeah. So she talks about.
Also, I just want to say that we are always all over the place.
That's true.
Just nothing.
That's
new.
Kind of the point of it. Yeah. That was very important
people
to
like
us
it.
in naming ourselves. That people knew that this was not going to be a straight line.
No.
So she talked about how she believes that if children are parented differently than we're parented or that our parents were parented, that we'll see like a huge amount of progress in the world.
Yeah.
Because there's this idea that people are born perfect.
Yeah.
And it is our job as parents to keep them perfect.
Mm-hmm.
And if they aren't perfect, then we screwed up.
Yep.
And then it's hard not to show your kid, I feel like I screwed up because you're screwing up.
Yeah. Yeah, yeah.
And she was saying, like, it's not our job to keep them perfect. It's to acknowledge that they are wired imperfectly.
Yes.
And that they are still worthy of love despite that. And
oh, I love that.
Oh, to hear that,
yeah.
I was like, I need that for me, Brene.
I know. I'm like, you're talking to me right now because I love that.
I feel like I want her to give me a hug and be like, you are worthy of love.
I'm listening to her podcast. Turn this off and go listen to hers.
Don't listen to us. I'm just regurgitating shit she said.
But that's so nice to hear.
Yeah.
That is, we were talking a little bit about that. I won't tell you guys why. But me and Jerry have had talks before about parental love being unconditional and what I don't think that people, you hear that and you're like, yeah, of course, I unconditionally love my child. But what that means is you do not put any conditions on that love. And, right. like, that means if your child is messing up, and they will, you can't, you basically can't turn your back on them when they start messing up.
Yeah.
And be like, well, I only love you if you're doing well. I only love you if you're
right.
what I want you to be.
And sometimes I don't know that parents know that that's happening.
I don't think they do.
I don't think, because I'll check myself and I think it starts like when you're at the store and your kid yes. is screaming and you try and quiet that kid mm-hmm. because that kid is embarrassing you.
Yes.
Because
now it's making you look bad.
Because it's making you look bad. And yep. so you feel embarrassment. You feel shame as a parent. Yes. I don't have to worry about that because we don't go to grocery stores.
I bet it's so nice.
But, you know, I think about who I am as a person. And we kind of talked about last week that I don't experience a lot of embarrassment.
Mm-hmm.
And what that makes me think of is I used to go grocery shopping with my mom every Saturday. Mm-hmm. We'd have breakfast with my grandma at the mill at Bueller's, which is a restaurant inside the grocery store. And then we would go grocery shopping. And I would dance and sing up and down the aisle yep. like an absolute idiot. And my mom wouldn't even blink.
Just be like, this is another normal yeah. Saturday.
I would be next to the cart just like... I can't even explain the type of dancing, full on choreographing routines in the cereal aisle. And she'd be like, do you want Lucky Charms or Frosted Flakes? Oh, you want Cap'n Crunch? Toss it in there. And I'd be like, Kobe. And I'd toss it in. And she's like, okay, we're going to go get bread now. But she wouldn't react.
Right.
And so because she didn't react to me being a fool, I didn't feel like a fool.
Yeah.
And so that wasn't an area of embarrassment for me.
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
I had other areas of embarrassment. Right. And I still have other areas of embarrassment. But that was not one of them.
Yeah.
So I didn't realize until just this moment that as a kid, because she would let me wear absolutely whatever I wanted to wear and not question it.
Yep.
And act like a fool in public and not question it. It didn't bother me.
Yeah. Well, that must be nice. I'm just kidding. I sure did get. I don't think it was from. I never did anything like that. I don't know where my embarrassment came from, but I do.
No,
remember.
My mom is also the type of person to get on a speaker and dance like crazy herself. She really led by example.
She is a queen. But I remember going to the mall, and there would be certain people who were like the popular kids, mm-hmm. and I'd be like, Mom, we can't go over here because so and so hears. I almost said his name.
So and so knows I exist in the same town.
And my mom still brings that up. She's like, remember when we couldn't even go to the mall because you were afraid that yeah. would see yeah. you? And I was like, Mom, don't freaking say that. He can hear you. And she's in the house. Relax.
I used to intentionally go up and be like, hey.
No.
But not I'm not going to notice you first. You're going to notice me first.
I'm having an anxiety attack right now. Just talking about it. I'm not a young kid anymore. But that's how I would feel going to the mall. And it was nothing she did or nothing that I... It was like, I don't know. I was just embarrassed about existing.
That's so sad.
It's really sad.
That's so sad.
But I think it's because I got made fun of a lot.
Yeah.
By outside people. So my shame came from just existing.
That's sad.
Like, it's so sad.
And
I'm laughing because I'm hurting. And that's okay.
I want that to be the title.
It totally can be.
I think we told you guys where the name of this came from, but like when I was a baby, I used to stand on the porch and they'd be like, go ahead, Jerry. And I would say, ladies and gentlemen, boys and girls, presenting me.
Yeah.
And they used to like clap and they thought it was the cutest thing that I loved attention.
Yeah.
And then the older I got, that became a bad thing
yeah.
that I liked attention, that I liked.
Why did we do that?
I don't know.
That makes me furious.
Yeah, it's like you're not allowed to be a kid anymore.
Yeah. Well, and I've called adults out who are like, look at her. She really must like attention. And I'm like, so fucking what?
Mm-hmm.
So what if she needs attention? Why is that hurting you?
And here's the thing. It's not that I need attention or that I needed attention. It's that when I stood on the porch
mm-hmm.
and I did whatever the hell I was doing.
Yeah.
Everyone was happy.
You were performing.
Yes. And so
that's not
now,
a bad thing.
but it became a bad thing. So there's this weird complex of like, I at my core love to make people smile, love to make people happy, love to use whatever I have to change the course of someone's mood. I just did it today.
Yeah.
But then when I got older, it became, oh, you love attention. Everything has to be about you. Mm-hmm. Oh, Jerry's this, Jerry's that. And it made me then feel like I should be ashamed of
being the center of attention.
I should not want to do it.
Instantly became a bad phrase. You're the center of attention.
Yes.
You have to be the center of attention. So fucking what? Someone should be. Then where's our attention?
It was hard for me to be like, okay, are people not happy now?
Right.
When I make jokes and
seem like I'm
choreograph
trying?
Dances? Am I not good at these things? And so I find myself even now, the whole reason I wanted to do this with you was because I felt like you and I could have these conversations and could reach people who were feeling alienated, who were stuck in their heads, not having anyone to have these conversations with, and could feel a part of it and be like, oh my God, me.
Yeah.
Thank you. I feel that. I'm releasing that. And I wanted to do that.
Mm-hmm.
And because of that, I feel like every so often there's this little voice in my head saying,
I know what it's going
to
say.
No one cares.
Yep.
No one gives a shit.
Yeah. Who the fuck are you?
Right.
Who are you? Like, that you're so important that people want to hear you speak for an hour.
She brings that up. Look, when I say I'm all over the place, this is where it is. She says shame has two main things, like presents itself in two main ways. The first one being you're never good enough.
Yeah.
And the second one being who do you think you are?
Mm-hmm.
And
those are both me all the time.
Truly.
Yeah. Like, and who do you think you are?
I have found myself not doing things because of both of those. Because who do you think you are? Like, when I was going to leave teaching to own my own business and be a photographer, be self-employed, the voice of who do you think you are?
Constantly.
You're not good enough.
Yeah.
Was just on a loop in my head. Who do you think you are that people are going to want to choose you for the most important day of their life?
Yeah.
And that... What, you get to work for yourself? You get to be your own boss? Who do you think you are?
Yeah, right.
And it kept me afraid to make the jump. And the only reason I felt comfortable enough was Shane kept telling me, you can do it. You are doing it.
I love that. Isn't it so nice when you have someone that's how I felt about going back to college?
Because
I was like, who the fuck do I think I am that I'm going to, whatever, if I go and get a degree and then try to become so, because in my head right now, I'm like, you're not smart enough to be that. But all of those people weren't either. That's literally what college is for.
Yes.
That's the whole point of it, is to learn.
Right.
So I'm going to be that smart once I learn it.
Right.
But in my head, I'm like, who do you think you are?
That I didn't realize that was shame.
Yeah. Same.
Until freaking Brene Brown.
I know. She's really helpful.
Hit me with some real zingers.
But that's. I had Corey to be like, Sierra, could you picture me in high school being a nurse? Because the only reason I am is because I literally did it.
Right.
I went to school and I passed the test and I did it. And now I am. And other than that, and no offense to him, but that's not what I would have pictured for him when he was in high school. But he worked his ass off and he's smart enough and he did it.
Right.
He's smart enough because he learned. That's it. That's all it takes. It's just learning.
And I don't want to say that Shane's the only thing.
Yeah. No,
I had a really great group of people in my life who were encouraging me, were sending me business, being like, hey, I'm booked this day. Go to Jerry. And I was like, you think that, like, I'm the next in line behind you?
Yeah.
I get to take him?
That's how I feel about... When I was in high school, there was a bunch of people when I got out of the high school, I was like, I want to do psychology and I think I could be a therapist. Like, I love that and whatever. And I just think I could be that for people. And everybody was like, Sierra, first of all, you have to get your master's degree. And it's so much schooling. Do you really know you want to be in school for 10 years? Blah, blah, blah. The one person who has said this from day one has been my mom. She's like, Sierra, you need to be a therapist. And even when I was going to school for other things, she was like, I really wish you would have gone for psychology because I just feel like it's your calling.
Yeah.
And so when I called her and told her, she was like, the only thing she said, she was like, well, yeah, like, that was it.
It's
she was
about like, damn
finally,
time.
Not any other thing of like, well, are you sure, Sierra? You've done three other things. Are you sure this is the one? She was just like, yeah, obviously. Yeah. Like, and that was the one thing that made me feel like, oh, why am I even in my own head thinking like, there are so many people out there that are like, well, yeah, obviously that's right. What you should do.
Right.
Where are we going?
We're talking about all of these things because I want to even talk about how strange it is that now that I feel like I am in my calling and doing my calling, mm-hmm. that I still am ashamed of it.
Yeah.
And it's because she talks about societal norms as well. And how
I hate societal norms.
Are like a source of shame for people.
It's the worst. It's the worst.
And I think mine is because it's a creative job.
Yeah. It's not a 9-to-5.
Right.
You don't have a normal 9-to-5. You don't clock in and clock out at a certain time. And you don't have, sorry, I'm going to the office.
Right.
And that is literally, if you're in America, that's the type of job you need to have. And if you don't, you have a, you're like, oh, look at her, eccentric, different job. Like, oh, unless you're like a doctor.
What a free spirit.
Yeah. And then I'm like, hey, I'm making, when I was serving, there were nights that I was making as much or more than my nurse boyfriend.
Yeah.
Like literally. And I'm like, people still are saying, when do you think you're going to try to get a real job?
Right.
Bitch. this is a real job.
Who's viewed as essential workers
now? Thank you.
And who are you saying you miss? The movies, the theater,
I can't
concerts,
wait to go out to eat.
All of those things
yeah.
that you're missing, I hope you now see are a
they
core,
don't.
I know, are a core
but
part of you. The people
yeah.
who are listening to us do. They're
they
like,
do.
We don't have to tell them.
No, but that's exactly what I was thinking. I was like, they know.
There was a person I got into a Facebook fight with.
I knew you were going to, if you weren't going to bring this up, I was going to bring this up.
So here's the thing. Sierra is normally the keyboard warrior.
I'm really good at it.
But one time there's
my
a girl
mom also told me that I should have been a lawyer. She's like, you're just really good at arguing.
Why is that the go-to?
I don't know.
Why can't everyone just be, you know what? That's a society thing. Hold on. I'm going to get to that.
It is. But
so sidetrack before I tell you this other story is that I was on Facebook once and a girl we graduated with had posted something. She is a part of the LGBTQ plus community.
Mm-hmm.
And when some of the legislation was coming out and Trump was just being absolutely, what's the word I want to use? Prejudice?
Yeah.
Disgusting against that community.
Yeah.
She had made a post about it. And at this time, this was before I was vocal. This was before the podcast. This was before anything. I commented this big, long comment about how I agreed with her and how I was so supportive of her and how I hate that this was happening and I wish there was more that we could do. And I went on and on. And then instead of hitting comment, I cut it and I pasted it in a private message to her.
Oh.
And
this
she,
is not where I thought you were going, by the way, but go on.
Oh, no, I'll get to the other one.
Okay.
She basically sent me a middle finger in words.
Oh, I remember this.
And was like, hey, your silence in public
yes.
says more than your private activism.
Yes.
So if you're going to be an ally in the shadows, like it means absolutely nothing to me.
Yep.
And I was like, you're right.
Yep.
So instead, I made my own post because not only do I want her friends on her Facebook to see it, I want my people to see it.
Yep.
I posted what I said to her privately, and I added the fact that I was stupid for thinking that me being quiet about it and messaging her privately meant anything.
Right.
I didn't do shit.
Right.
And I shared her post because in that moment I thought, I don't know enough to speak on this, and I don't want to do more damage to a movement
yeah.
than, which is the exact same thing we were talking about when we were mentioning the Black Lives Matter. We were like afraid
to even speak about it at first because we're like, oh, we don't want to seem like those girls that are just hopping on the, you
we
know.
Didn't want to do that, but we also didn't want to say something ignorant.
Exactly.
That
because
we were uninformed
we were,
and do damage.
We were both very much like, hey, we don't know. We're still very much learning, but
right.
like, we have to undo a lot of
right.
things that we grew up learning.
But we want to do it. If we're going to fail at this, we want to try and we want to do it in the light.
Oh,
we
don't sure. I would.
We're bringing back the light in the dark.
Yes.
Analogy.
Yes.
So anyway, ever since then, I have decided if I see something that I am just in my gut upset with on Facebook.
It really warms my heart when I see you do it because I'm like, hey, there's my girl.
I have to talk. I have to address it now because she opened my eyes to the fact that me just having feelings alone in my house, in my privilege, does nothing for anyone else.
Mm-hmm.
So this person was talking about Kamala Harris and she was addressing sex work and I had some feelings. If you guys forget, because I've just derailed us so far, I'm talking about why I feel ashamed about being a photographer.
We're getting there.
So
it's funny because I know all of these stories, so I know exactly where you're going with them. But I forget that we have an audience.
Like, hey, what the fuck are we doing? We're on this road, and I feel very far from the destination. We're gonna make a U-turn.
We are getting there.
So she makes this post where she is degrading Kamala Harris and degrading sex workers and all these things.
Yeah.
And I'm like, boop boop.
Nope.
So I start eloquently explaining a different viewpoint, which I truly believe was respectful. Proof, someone messaged me to thank me.
Yeah.
First of all.
She was an older woman.
She was like
amazing.
Six in her 60s. Yeah. And I was like, we can be best friends.
So
this person in the comments was telling me that even though she believed my heart was in the right place, that I didn't know anything and that life is more than talking with my friend in a bathtub and taking pretty pictures. And I think, have you ever seen those old cartoons where like steam literally comes out of people's heads? That was, I know what that feels like.
Did you Marco Polo? Yeah, I think you Marco Polo'd me. Yeah. And I was instantly
I was like swinging in my kitchen alone.
I'm in my car in the Starbucks line like, who bitch?
Oh, who fight?
I was so mad.
Here's the thing.
First of all, I'm offended because I was the friend in the bathtub. So fuck you.
And first of all, cousin.
Yeah.
I was in the bathtub with my family.
Okay. We were two grown adult cousins together in a bathtub. Fuck off.
That wasn't even the part I was ashamed of.
Well, that's the part that I was offended about.
So the reason I was ashamed is because this person
just
made me feel like she made me feel small.
Yeah.
She made me feel like in order for me to have an educated, well-informed opinion.
You need to have a real job.
Yep. I needed to have a real job.
Oh, I know. That's how people used to talk to me when I was serving. And they'd be like, that's cute. But when you get a real job, which I'm like, oh, so if I sit at a desk from 9 to 5 and don't do any outside research on my own, then you'll take my words and my opinions more seriously.
If I give myself a title and wear some clothes that are significantly more uncomfortable.
So ridiculous. Why do we do that?
I don't know.
As a society,
I don't know.
Why do we do that?
But I had to hit her with the, I have a bachelor's in education. I worked in low-income schools for 5 years. I have bought children who don't have clothes. I bought them hygiene products. I sat and had meetings with their parents about drug addiction. I've had children who were sexually abused. And I went down the line like, listen, lady, you don't know me. I am a state licensed intervention specialist.
I think that's the worst part, too, is that she doesn't know you. So for her to just assume because of what your Facebook shows that that's who you are as a person is ridiculous.
But I shouldn't need to rattle off a resume for you.
You to take what I'm saying seriously.
Yes. For me to be worthy.
Yes. Agreed.
Of my words having valid points.
Because I don't have any of those things. And I think the same shit you think. We were on the same fucking page. So.
But that's the thing is I hate that I feel
list
that
off
way.
My credentials.
Yes, I shouldn't
for you to take me seriously.
Right. I shouldn't need credentials. And I hate that it makes me feel small.
Yes.
I hate that.
Your career, which is a huge, like you were telling
I'm
me.
I'm proud of it.
You were like, I am not just a take pretty pictures. I am a businesswoman. Like, I have my own
That's
business.
Hard for me to say.
I know, but you are.
Yeah.
and I am unemployed. But I still feel like I'm worthy of a good
employment. Yeah.
You know what I mean? Like, shit. What we do for a living with our bodies. Yeah. I could go on a whole rant with sex work too with that, but it's fine.
Right.
But what you do with your body to make money, whether that's sit at a desk, whether that's walk around and wait tables, whether that's take pretty pictures, whether that's whatever, does not, it literally has nothing to do with who you are as a person, I don't think.
Right.
And I think what you were going to say earlier, which I want to comment on, is when somebody's good at something, this is a capitalism thing that we do. Yeah. Sorry, I'm going off. This is not what we're talking about.
Please,
but
get on top of your soapbox.
Here we go. Let me get up preach. Here. This is what we have done in a capitalist society. Anything that you are good at, people want you to make money off of it.
Right.
You can't just be creative and, oh, you, Sierra, you crochet or whatever. Now you got to make money off of it. Mm-hmm. Oh, Sierra, you're good at arguing. Now you got to be a lawyer.
Right.
Oh, you know what I mean? It's like anything that you might be good at, somebody wants to put a price tag on it.
Right.
Well, if you're not, I mean, then you're not good at it. If you can't make money off of it, then what are you even doing it for?
Right.
Which is like, then
Shane
people
still
don't
feels
have
guilty that he went to school and spent an absurd amount of money on his recording degree.
Yeah.
He had, like, if you guys don't know, our producer.
Yeah. See?
I'm sleeping with our producer.
Oh my God, she's sleeping her way to the top.
That's how it happened. He was producing absolutely nothing, and I was just on the street talking, and he was like, I've got a show for you.
You want to get married and have some babies?
Birth my children? No, he got a degree in, he's a recording engineer. Mm-hmm. So, like, he has a degree in being able to produce music.
Yeah.
And he doesn't use it other than for our podcast and when we make music together. And
I'm sure right there that's a shame guilt thing for him.
Yep.
Oh, I know.
Oh my gosh,
I
can't tell you how many times that's brought up.
I have like I have a license, and then I finished school for another thing.
Mm-hmm.
Two completed school things. One of them has a license, one of them I just completed schooling for.
Right.
And I didn't do anything with either one, but I have so much shame and guilt for that, but for why?
Yeah.
Why? Like, either way, I fucking learned something. Yeah. Like, I have skills now. Shane has skills.
Right.
That's
Oh my God, you're Sims.
Oh my God. I just changed what I wanted to do after I got all my skills.
Yeah.
I got my skills to 10.
Yes.
And now I want to change what I'm doing. Because then what do you do with it after that? You die?
Yes. You remember? We all die.
We all die.
Nothing matters.
It really doesn't. So if you want to change what you want to do 40 different times, who cares?
Honestly. But like,
they're going to wipe out student debt at
this. I freaking hope
so too.
But you have to get to the point where you don't care.
I know. And
because
that's really, really hard.
I'm not there. And
it's really hard.
I, even within my business, don't feel worthy enough to call myself a businesswoman, but I am.
It was hard for me to call myself a professional esthetician, but I literally am a professional.
Yeah.
I have my license in aesthetics, like advanced aesthetics.
Right.
So I am quite literally a professional, but because I haven't done it for 10 years, I for some reason think that I can't call myself that. I can't give people skin advice, but I absolutely can. I have all of the training.
Yes.
I literally went to school. I passed the test. Like, I did it.
That's a shame thing.
That is
that's a
shame.
A little
thing.
Shame gremlin inside of you that's
I
saying
hate
that.
My because shame if gremlin.
If someone else
came
to
else,
you right and
I'd
said,
like,
hey,
oh, okay.
I'm a licensed esthetician.
It's a really hard word to say.
It is. And gave you advice, you'd be like, oh, tight, absolutely. You're a professional.
Yes.
I'm taking your word for word.
Yes.
I'm taking your word for word.
I'm taking your words as words.
they're good words. Great words. The best
the
words.
Best. That is fun. Now I see why he does it.
Tremendous words.
Hold on real quick.
I am obsessed with clothes.
Oh, yeah.
It's a problem for me. It's a problem for my closet.
Mm-hmm.
Okay. And that's why I'm so excited to be sharing Newly with our audience, because Newly
is a way to try out trendy styles, colors, silhouettes, all different kinds of things that maybe you've been interested in but are like gonna make your bank cry.
Mm-hmm.
Now you can rent them for a period of time and then you just ship them back.
For just $98 a month, you get your choice of any 6 styles each month, access to thousands of styles from more than 400 brands with inclusive sizing.
That's another beautiful thing, mm-hmm. because a lot of places may not have options for everyone. And this has so much diversity, not only in the brands that they offer, but also they have fast, free shipping and returns and professional cleaning in Nuuly's state-of-the-art laundering facility.
Plus, the option to buy what you love.
It's fun, it's sustainable, and you can save because you get to try out a bunch of stuff that you like, or maybe you're like, I don't know, maybe I would like this. And then you get it and you're like, I don't think that's for me. But there's no commitment to buy it unless you really do love it. And you're like, you actually can't have this back, Nuuly.
Mm-hmm.
I'm keeping it.
Nuuly is a great value at $98 a month for any 6 styles. But right now you can get $20 off of your first month of Nuuly when you sign up with the code TANGENTS20.
Just go to NUULY.com. That's Nuuly with 2 U's, and enter the code TANGENTS20 and sign up to get $20 off your first month.
That's NUULY.com, Nuuly with 2 U's with code TANGENTS20.
Nuuly subscription clothing rental. Change your clothes.
Hear that? It's the call of the Crave. And when the Crave calls, you know what to do. Try the $5 bacon bundle, because the only thing better than a White Castle slider is a White Castle slider topped with crispy hickory smoked bacon. So pick any 2 of either the bacon cheese slider, 1921 bacon cheese slider, or chicken bacon ranch slider, and also get a small fry for just $5 with the $5 bacon bundle. White Castle. Follow your Crave.
This is a big year. The Ohio Lottery's golden anniversary. 50 years of excitement, of growing jackpots and crossed fingers. 50 years of funding for schools, of changed lives and brightened days. 50 years of fun, and that is worth celebrating. So watch for can't-miss promotions, huge events, and new games that will make the Ohio Lottery's 50th year its biggest one yet. Learn more at funturns50.com.
When you need mealtime inspiration, it's worth shopping Kroger, where you'll find over 30,000 mouthwatering choices that excite your inner foodie. And no matter what tasty choice you make, you'll enjoy our everyday low prices, plus extra ways to save, like digital coupons worth over $600 each week. You can also save up to $1 off per gallon at the pump with fuel points. More savings and more inspiring flavors make shopping Kroger worth it every time. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Fuel restrictions apply.
What is the most important thing to you when it comes to menstrual care?
I would say probably not having to worry about leaking, going about my day, and not worrying about having to run to the bathroom when you feel that, what's coming out of there?
I think I'd agree.
Yeah.
And that's why we're excited to tell you about Flex.
If you want a period product that looks out for your body, your lifestyle, and the planet, you've got to try Flex.
There's the Flex Disc, which is a one-time use menstrual disc that fits perfectly inside your body.
It's not a cup and it's better than a tampon. It's unlike any period product you've ever seen before. One Flex Disc can be worn for up to 12 hours and it holds as much flow as 3 super tampons.
Plus, you can wear it for mess-free period sex.
Yes, my white sheets love that for me.
Flex discs also create 60% less waste compared to pads and tampons, so they are planet-friendly.
And if you want to go with zero waste and have the planet love you even more, you can pick up the Flex Cup, a reusable menstrual cup that Cosmo rated number 1.
The patented pull tab makes Flex the only cup on the market that removes like a tampon. It's so easy, you already know how to use it, and you won't lose it.
Yes, which is very important. It's also disability friendly and made with beginners in mind. So when I say like this is easier to use than tampons, I really truly believe that.
Well, this beginner is grateful for that.
Yes. It's also velvety soft and completely body safe, and it lasts for years.
So say goodbye to cramps, put sex back on the table, and lend Mother Nature a hand. Go to flexfits.com/tangents and use code TANGENTS for 20% off Flex Disc starter kits.
or 10% off your first Flex cup. Plus, you get free U.S. shipping. That's code TANGENTS at Flex, F-L-E-X, fits.com/tangents.
Oh, no, I lost my thought. Okay, sorry. Back to what we were saying.
Oh, but yeah, I don't know why we do that to ourselves.
It's very and frustrating like, that we live in a society where that's a societal thing.
Oh, yeah.
I took sociology class one, but I feel like I know. That is a society thing that we do.
Pressures where, are put yeah. on us.
And again, it's a societal norm to have a 9-to-5. And if you don't, then you are somehow outside of the norm, and that's bad.
And you
which
know,
is weird.
People don't even have to say it directly to me for me to assume that they group me in with that. So, like, I don't have to hear someone say, Jerry, you don't have a real job. You're not a real business owner.
Mm-hmm.
For me to think because you view other artists, other creatives as less than, in my head, you group me in there.
Yep.
I don't have to hear anyone attack me personally for me to take on those societal norms.
Yeah.
If that makes sense.
Yeah. It's so frustrating. It's like I said, I made insane money. When I was serving, I had my own apartment and I was a single mom, like paying
for
everything.
Bands were making her dance.
Bands were making me dance. But I literally was bartending and serving and making as much money, like I said, as people who had more money than people who have real jobs, and I had no debts at that point. And still, every time like I'd go to family things, they'd be like, so what's the next step? Like, basically, like, what are you going to do next? This isn't your end goal. So, like, what is? And for some reason, it was like a box this small. Now, I hated serving.
Yeah.
That should be the reason that wasn't a career goal. But if I loved it, fucking absolutely, I would have done that for the rest of my life.
Is there retirement?
No.
Who cares?
But you can buy private. You can put. Yes. There are multiple. My friend who was a server and still is, she's very good at it and she enjoys doing it. It's something that she likes to do because she has a new baby now, and so it gives her flexibility. And let me tell you something, as a new mom, it's such a good job because your schedule is so flexible. It's amazing. You can get people to pick up shifts like that. It's great. But she has like a financial advisor, and he has her in all these things, money that she puts in every month for a retirement plan and a 401k. Like you can get insurance and things like that. Yeah, absolutely. But people still will put you in like, well, what are you going to do for the rest of your life? And again, serving is.
I'm so sorry that you just had to watch me give birth to myself. I tried to take my sweatshirt off because I'm absolutely sweating. And
it was
and
tough.
I got stuck.
Her face had a hard time.
I don't know how you kept going.
I couldn't look at you for a minute. I had to look down at the blanket.
Oh my God. Oh.
But yeah, even if it's what somebody wants, it is tough on your body. But what is it? Like, you're not supposed to sit for 9 hours a day.
Photography is not easy on this body. The amount of gear that I have to carry when I'm shooting, I am like a pack mule. It is a lot. And I am wrecked.
Running. Yeah. Well, you're running around too.
Oh, like, yeah. Squatting. I don't even recognize like the positions my body gets into.
Yeah.
And not to mention like when I'm editing, sitting at a desk is not easy. Mm-mm. And I'm having to do it in between raising two kids.
Mm-hmm.
So like, it's a lot. And not only that, but in other avenues of work, people are not expected to do everything.
Yeah.
I keep my own books.
Yes.
Not well. I create my own website.
Yeah.
I run my books. I already said that.
You get the incoming and outgoing messages and all that.
Yes. I'm my own
customer service.
Yep. Thank you.
Yes.
Thank you.
And that's a hard job.
I'm my editor.
Yes.
I am my social media presence.
Yes.
Like,
these are all things that in huge companies
are delegated.
They have certain people to do, and you're doing it all.
Yes.
That's a big thing.
I know.
You should be proud of yourself.
Thank you.
You're welcome.
I'm not.
I know. I want you to be.
Here's something. Here's a shame thing that's who do you think you are? And it's not good enough thing. I last March, April. decided that I was going to come out with a course, because I can't tell you how many people, and this is not me trying to toot my own fucking horn. I swear to God, this
you
feels
are
like
allowed
it, but
to toot it.
I know
you are.
Don't tell me to toot.
I want you to toot it.
I have a lot of people asking me for mentorships, mm-hmm. asking me if they can come along and second shoot with me, asking me for like shooting and editing tips. And I was like, you know what? I'm going to come out with a course. Mm-hmm. We're in quarantine. I am going to create a resource mm-hmm. for people, because I think in this day and age, everyone has access to a high quality camera.
Yeah.
They should know how to use it.
Yes.
Because if they don't, spend the money?
Right.
There's no
And that's part
no
of
point.
The problem.
Right.
You could be amazing, but you're not using the equipment correctly.
Right.
Yeah.
So I decided I'm going to come out with this course. Mm-hmm. And I spent hours writing out what I wanted to talk about. I wrote a script for every single piece of it. There's like six subsets within it that all have their own situations. The words that I normally use for these are not coming to my head, but anyway,
it's fine.
Trust me, I'm a professional. So I came up with all of these, and I came up with my dialogue. I came up with dialogue for all of them to explain everything clearly. And then I came up with visuals, and I knew, okay, I'm going to use a video example here. I'm going to use photo example here. This is the exact photo example I'm going to use. And modules. Oh my God, that's the word.
There we go.
So there's modules within all of these things. Yes. Anyway, I haven't done a damn thing with it. It's literally 15 feet from us on the other side of that wall. And I have not sat down and recorded, because who wants to buy this?
But
who wants to use this?
But I bet they're...
I know. And I've had people being like, when's your course coming out? Yep. And I'm like... As soon as I get some balls.
As soon as my imposter syndrome goes away and I realize that I'm worth doing it.
Yes. Yes. Honestly. Truly.
Yeah, I know. I'm going to be your therapist.
You better.
Give me 10 years.
10?
I don't know. That's a lot
of
schooling.
I have shit that needs dealt with now.
Okay, well, I can do it for you, but it's just going to be what my therapist says to me. So we might need to have the same problems. I don't know anything outside of my scope.
Let's make a Venn diagram and see where we overlap.
Oh, I bet there's a lot.
I bet there's a lot. We talked about, what's that called? Societal norms?
Yeah.
Okay. So Brene Brown talked about societal norms in her video.
Mm-hmm.
And she talked about how, do you hear this? This is called
it's
research.
On paper.
It's called pen and paper research, people. So she said that women, the societal norms that women are supposed to, at least in our country,
ooh,
are supposed to utilize, and I kind of like abbreviated it,
hold on,
is
look at me.
Focusing on their physical appearance.
Oh, I'm getting into fight mode already because he's pissed me off.
And a modest and poised demeanor. Yeah.
Fuck.
How modest and poised of you.
Listen. Into the mic. I am neither modest nor poised.
Yeah.
So suck in.
Yeah.
Society.
Mm-hmm.
That fucking makes me so angry at our ancestors for just like letting women be put into that. Like, because it's taking so long to break out of that.
Yeah.
And I want to be like, hey, man, fucking come on.
I'll tell you how she mentioned that
so
physical appearance is a big thing.
Oh, it's so annoying.
I watched a video yesterday. I went down a YouTube rabbit hole. When I edit, I just turn on YouTube and I don't care who it is. I just like hearing
voices.
Yes.
It makes you feel like you're not alone.
Right.
I get it.
So I found this channel. It's called Nikki and Gabby. It's these twins who are total opposites.
Oh, love that.
And again, it's like I'm almost embarrassed that I enjoy watching them, because mm-hmm. it feels like I'm 30 and I shouldn't be watching them. Also, I'm not 30, but like I'm basically 30. I'm rounding the corner.
We're allowed to say that. We're like within 6 months of it. We're allowed.
Nuh-uh.
Okay, 7 months.
It's like, you bite your freaking tongue. We're not.
I keep thinking we're in December. Sorry.
I know. Time is whatever.
Not real. Not existent.
So the one twin, they're identical. Like, okay. Growing up, you could not tell the difference between them. I just learned about them yesterday. I know everything there is to know.
I love that.
So they were identical.
Okay.
And then they started. Did you ever see, like, how one twin was, like, super goth and alternative and the other one was super preppy and girly?
Yes.
Okay, that's them.
Love it.
So when they grew
it's
up.
Really fascinating to me when two people can have the same DNA but be so different.
Yes.
I love that.
So the one decided to interview the other because the other had done a lot of work on her face.
Oh.
She got lip filler. She got veneers, porcelain teeth.
Love that. Want that.
And a nose job. And so the one twin's interviewing her like, hey, I want to understand
why you wanted to change my face.
why you did these things. Because
I have your face.
It starts from the inside.
Yeah.
I want to understand, because she had talked to other people about their like eating disorders and like their online persona and how people viewed them. And she's like, I want to talk to you because people look at you and they know that your face changed and they want to know like
people
what.
People look at me and they know that your face changed.
Well, she literally was like, so why'd you want to do this? And she's like, I hated my face. And she's like, we have the same thing.
That's the only thing that I can't like. That's so rude.
Yes.
Do you look at your sister every time now and be like, I fucking hate the way
but
you
look?
But
she didn't. But she didn't. That's
it's only
so,
herself.
Yes.
Ooh, that is fascinating.
I know. So she got lip filler. Ooh, was her first thing.
So that's
thing.
Like, what is it called? Body dysphoria or something?
Dysmorphia.
Dysmorphia, that's
yeah,
it.
Yeah, yeah, yeah. So she got lip filler first because she believed that they grew up, her mom was like a beauty queen. Mm-hmm. It was so fucking funny because the one twin was like runner up, but that's fine. And I'm like, oh, damn, change your mom for sure. But she's like, mom was so beautiful. And I wanted to be like mom, but we have dad's face. And I wanted a feminine face.
I get that.
And we grew up. Hello.
Yeah, we are hello. Both our dad's faces.
I can't tell you how many times people come up to me and they're like, oh, you're Kelly's daughter,
same.
Aren't you? You look just like him.
Hey,
and I'm
you're
like,
a
that's.
Heron. And I yep. was like, I know. I have his face and his mustache. You don't have to tell me.
Leave me be. Was it my beak that gave it away?
Was it my teeth?
So.
We have attractive fathers. That's fine.
As
they're
men.
As men.
See, and that's what she said. She goes, dad's a great looking guy
as a guy. But then as a woman, you feel like you have very manly features.
Yes.
And it's a societal norm to not
yes.
have those. I know.
Yes. So I'm like, yes, girl, I get it. And I'm staring at her face and I'm like, could I get a nose?
Right?
Could I do a filler? I'm but honestly terrified that
it'll
go bad.
And I don't think that you would look the right. Like I just
I wouldn't
like,
look the same. That's the point.
Yeah, but I that's what I mean. I just feel like it fits your face.
But what does that say? I want to keep you kind of weird looking.
I don't think you are weird
okay,
looking.
Okay, Mitch, you know Mitch?
Yeah.
He was Marco Poling me one time and he was like, you have like a high fashion thing. And that's I was like, do I?
I agree. I agree.
I don't know what you mean by
thank
that
you,
because
Mitch.
I've seen some high fashion things and I'm like, huh.
I feel like they're exaggerated features, but that's good.
That's good. You just called me it's a not. Caricature.
You called yourself that.
I never said exaggerated.
I called you high fashion. How dare you?
So I was listening to my Divas playlist today.
Okay. Your deepest?
Divas.
Oh, I thought you said deepest. I was like, what is
if
that?
My
about?
Voice sounds like it's been through it today. It's because I performed a concert.
Oh. Oh, Divas.
Yes.
Now I understand.
So
a lot of Celine, a lot of
Whitney. Alanis Morissette.
Queens.
Kelly Clarkson.
Queens.
Beyonce.
Demi.
Yes.
Yes.
So Pretty Hurts by Beyonce came on.
Yes.
I cried. I did.
I love that.
I had a legitimate moment because there's words in there that the lyrics are like, are you happy with yourself?
No.
And it says something about like looking in the mirror when you look back at your, are you happy with yourself? And I was like, no. No.
No.
And now I feel ashamed that I'm not. Uh-huh. And like, it was such a weird...
Oh, because Beyonce is telling you she's perfect.
No, it was just because I looked at that girl on that video and thought, you're beautiful. Yeah. Why did you need to do that?
That's how I'm feeling looking at you.
Thank you. But and that's why I felt sad for me.
I know. I feel sad for you too.
I feel sad for me because me don't like me face. And this is not an invitation for anyone to message me and be like, you're beautiful. Because like,
stop it.
Honestly, like, you can say it all you want, but if I don't believe it, it doesn't matter. No. And that's the hardest thing, because I've had conversations like that with people where I'm like, listen, I think you're a dime.
Yeah.
But it doesn't matter. I'm not going to waste my breath because I know you're not listening. Mm-hmm. You're not hearing me. Mm-hmm. You're not ready to hear mm-hmm. me. And I'm not ready to hear you people.
Also, what we're talking about, societal norms, I feel like it's also harder because we're not done up every single day. Because yeah. I know you feel it when you yes. get done up. Because there are certain times that I get done up. Corey, sometimes, the one time I got done up for that wedding that we talked about, yeah. you were like, damn, you look good. I came down and Corey's like, you are clomping in those heels. I was like, because I look fucking great.
And I want everyone to look this way, so I am being as loud as possible.
I'm being very obnoxious about my walk. I was in my house. Like,
hear ye, hear ye.
I want everybody in this house to fucking look at me. What I really wanted was for him to be like, wow, you look good. And instead he was just like, you're clomping in those heels. And I was like, it's because I look good, you fucking asshole.
Clomp, clomp, I'm a babe.
But sometimes I do myself up and I'm like, whoa. Okay.
You remember you what look you're capable good. Of. Yeah.
But that sucks because I don't normally look like that. And I wish I felt like that when I looked like this.
Yeah. Yes. Yes.
Because it sucks.
Unconditional.
But that's a society.
We put conditions on
it. Our love for ourselves.
Yeah.
I just wanted to shake the mic because I'm having such a revelation.
You're like choking the mic.
Oh. No, but honestly, that's a society thing because I feel like ingrained in our own minds mm-hmm. because of fucking patriarchy.
Yeah.
We are told that we are not beautiful the way that we are right now.
But is it realistic for us to expect society to change in order for us to feel better?
No.
So society's how do we do that?
Change.
Brené.
Yeah. Can you help us, girl? Can we collab?
Oh my God. Could you imagine?
I would shit myself.
She is a therapist.
I know. I wanted to reach out and be like, help me. I want to be. Brené. I want to be you. And I want to be with you.
So she also said that shame is organized. I guess I should say the norms for men because there are guys who listen. Yeah. That they are supposed to show emotional control, mm-hmm. be focused on work, and be violent.
That which is it's
isn't
true.
That wild,
it, but it's true because I'm not even going to say for men. That is for boys, too. Mm-hmm. When my son doesn't like playing rough, adult men who try to play rough with him, like, get pissed.
Yeah.
They're like, what's wrong with him, Sierra? He doesn't like playing rough. He doesn't like it. I don't know what to tell you. Like, there's...
Who likes playing rough?
No, you weirdo. Stop trying to play rough with my 8-year-old. It's weird. He doesn't want to get thrown in the air and punched in the stomach until he cries. That's not fun for him.
Yeah.
Like, so I don't know.
And I'm not going to tell him that he's supposed to be having fun. And if he's not, then he's a little bitch.
Exactly. Because he's not. That's there is no reason. You wouldn't expect that of me when I was young.
Right.
You would know that little girls didn't like that. Mm-hmm. So why you're expecting that of my son is weird. Mm-hmm. I don't like that. It's the one of the hardest things I've had to experience as a boy's a boy mom, because my son is very sensitive. He is not a typical, I'm putting in quotes,
right.
boy, because he's very sensitive. He's very nurturing. He's very caring, loving. I don't want to say girly because
self-aware, I feel,
but
like,
yeah, he is.
He's set boundaries for himself. He's
very self-aware and mm-hmm. he has a lot of boundaries and he knows.
He communicates them really well, too.
He's like, I don't like that and I don't want you to do that.
Right. And I think that's important. And I think you've done a good job of teaching him how to advocate for himself, because mm-hmm. as parents, that's, I think, a huge part of our job.
Yes.
Is to advocate for our children until they can advocate for themselves. Yes. And then encouraging them to use their voice to do that. And
so what's frustrating is a grown man going over top of me and being like, no, because you're a sissy. Mm-hmm. Because I'm a woman.
Right.
And being like, your mom doesn't know what's best for you.
You're sensitive.
Strange man.
Man teach man. Woman be quiet.
And I'm like, no. He knows what he likes. He doesn't like that. You telling him he should like that doesn't make him like it. So right.
And how teaching about you just stop bodily autonomy.
That's exactly it.
Will then help him respect others' bodily autonomy.
And sometimes they'll want to like put him up on their shoulders. He doesn't like heights. That's just that he doesn't like it. So when he's saying screaming and then you're like, oh, you're being dramatic. Well, you didn't listen to him when he told you before you put him on your shoulders. They didn't like heights. So you thinking, well, I'm just trying to play. Play some fucking cards with them. It's not hard.
Right.
Do it a different way. I don't know why, gorilla man, caveman, you think that the only way to play with a young boy is to toss him around.
Right.
But like, figure it out.
Right.
Do what you do with little girls, I guess. If that's
or
what.
Don't.
Or don't. Or just, yeah.
Or don't touch people. How about that?
Don't touch other people.
Yes. It's that. It's truly that fucking easy.
Don't touch people.
Yeah.
Sometimes when kids come up to me, because like Corey has nieces, and if Carrie and Courtney are listening, that's their moms. I love your children, but it's just like sometimes they'll like crawl onto me, and I'm like, should I be touching you?
Just you feel like you just like put your hands really close to your face.
Like you guys can hug me, but I feel weird if I hug you because you're not my blood, like relatives. You know what I mean?
Yeah,
I'm just gonna be hugging these kids. Yeah. I love them, but it just feels
you're
like,
just trying to be respectful and you're like, I don't know.
I don't want to smother you with my love because I'm a very affectionate, like me and my son. I'm like, go over here so I can freaking cuddle you. And if I do that to another little kid, I feel like it's weird.
I'm not your mom.
I'm not going to smother you with my love.
Yes. I can't give you a bath with my tongue like they do on The Lion King. So she was also talking about how shame is organized by gender.
Okay.
And how women experience shame different than men.
More so?
No, equally.
Okay.
And it's the same feeling, but from different things.
Sure.
So I think you can obviously experience shame from a variety of different things, but like societal, I think she was talking about overlap. There's like a consistency between one and the other. So with women, she this is a quote, do it all, do it perfectly, and never let them see you sweat.
Can I tell you something? Let's talk about something real quick, because me and my mom have this discussion. When people are invited over to my house, even though it is mine and Corey's house, if it is not spotless, I feel like, and I know
it's a negative reflection on you,
it's just me, not him,
yep
just me,
yep,
it is a negative reflection. Oh, Sierra can't keep a house. Like, this is the fucking 1950s.
Yes.
And it is the most frustrating thing I've had to talk to my mom about. I'm like, Mom, I am losing my shit, because he'll invite his friends over who I know how he was in his house when he lived with his parents, how his room looked,
right?
So they know that he's not like super tidy, but they'll come to my house and immediately I think that they think, oh, Sierra can't clean up after him or something. Yes. Like, it's so weird. And they might not. They've never, ever said anything to
me. Yeah, that's an in your head
thing. It is completely 100% in my head that I think they're going to think I'm a bad partner because I'm not cleaning up after him or my son constantly.
Yes.
It's crazy. And again, my house, if you ever come to it, is not filthy, but it gets cluttered because I'm a human.
Yes.
And I'm not a robot going after and cleaning up after people who leave pop cans out or whatever.
Right.
So when people come over, especially unannounced, I'm like, oh, fuck. It doesn't look like a magazine in here. Yes. There's dust on my TV, like, or whatever. It's insane that I feel that. Corey has never felt that.
Shane does. I don't know if Shane feels. I don't think Shane feels
that.
Because
we've talked about
it. Shane notices what's going to bother me.
Yes.
But he'll like anticipate it and then do something about it. But it's not because it bothers him.
Yeah.
It's because he knows it'll bother me.
Yeah.
But mine has gotten so bad that, okay, you know how on faucets for the sink that you have like the regular faucet and then the sprayer?
Yes.
Well, mine is all in one. So you pull the faucet down and then you can hit a button and it turns into the sprayer.
It's really nice.
It doesn't always go back.
Ah.
So like there'll be times where it's just like cockeyed. Yes. And it's not, and it's almost there.
Yeah.
It's almost there. It's just not totally back in its place.
Yeah.
It sends me into an absolute panic.
You're like, that's not perfect.
Yes.
And so I'm
yes.
Yeah.
And I have this issue. I didn't realize it was shame until she was talking about it in this way. I have an issue asking for help. And it's because if I ask for help, it's me admitting
I don't do it all. I can't do it all.
That I am incapable of doing everything that I think I'm supposed to be able to
do. Yes.
But if you asked me who is doing this, I would say,
I don't fucking know.
Yeah.
I don't know.
Yes.
I have no idea. I can't give you anyone who I am modeling myself after who I believe is doing these things effectively.
Right.
But I'm supposed to do them.
Because I feel like as a society we are, but we all know women who are struggling with them. Every woman.
Yes.
So we all know
that
it's a
struggle.
But I wouldn't
judge anyone else.
Me neither. When I go into people's houses and they're like, sorry, it's a mess, and it legitimately is.
Yeah.
Like, sometimes there's people that are like, sorry, it's a mess. And I'm like, I could eat off your fucking floors, you asshole.
Yeah.
But there's sometimes that people are like, sorry, it's a mess. And like, they have kids there and it legitimately looks like a mess. And I'm like, dude, this is... It makes me feel at home. Yeah, like this makes me feel at home because
it's almost like I think you're comfortable with me.
Yeah, and it makes me feel like I'm not going to ruin something by like sitting on it or like messing it up or putting, you know. Remember one time I was at your house and I was like, put something on your thing and then immediately wiped it because it spilled a little.
You apologize for getting water on my glass table. Yeah. And I'm like, literally, this is what this is for.
And I was like, I'm so fucking sorry. But that's because in my head, I'm like, oh, make a mess in somebody's perfect house. Like, what a horrible person.
But my
you
house
are.
Is not. Well, okay. My house might have been like
it was
cleaned
nice
up then.
It. Yeah.
But like,
I've seen it at its worst.
There
you
are
have
times,
you have a toddler.
Yes. There are times when people like, if people are viewing my house for the first time, it has to be immaculate.
Oh, yeah.
Otherwise, I don't give a shit.
Yeah.
So, oh my gosh, our bathroom door does not fit properly. So it like makes an absolute just horrible noise when you open it and close it. And it's a source of embarrassment for me.
Yeah.
Because I'm like, it doesn't matter how nice the rest of my house looks because my fucking bathroom door sticks.
And you know someone's going to have to use it if they're
and
over
it
for a
makes
while.
Just a...
Yeah,
like horrible, and you got to pull it really hard.
I don't ever close it all the way. But then
neither.
Your son pops in on me.
He's like, "You doing okay?"
He's very forceful. He's like, "Bah!"
He's like, "Bubbles, bubbles."
I'm like, "Hold on, buddy, I'm in here."
Oh my god, today I farted, and he goes, "Poop." It's like, no, just a fart this time. You thought.
Oh, I love toddlers.
Oh, but whenever people are coming to my house for the first time, I have to have it clean.
Yeah.
And what's weird is anyone who's ever come over here for the first time, they always sit at my table and never sit anywhere else.
I do that.
I know.
That's a thing.
Why?
I don't know.
I have multiple.
I feel like
couch,
it's too
I have an ottoman. I have multiple chairs, and you sit at the table. Those
like
chairs aren't even comfortable.
They're not.
I know.
I feel like it's almost too informal to just like make a place for yourself on the couch.
That's what you're worried about.
Sometimes I put myself in your rocker.
You don't
I do
even
love
wear
the
a bra here. And you're worried about the informality of sitting on my couch.
I can't help it. I can't help it. It's ingrained inside of me. I don't know why. To be prim and proper all the time, even when I'm not wearing a bra in my cousin's house.
In my bathtub.
It's weird. It's weird.
So for men,
okay,
it is not being able to show weakness. Like if they show weakness, that's a source of shame.
I
wrote toxic masculinity.
Hate
because
that. It is.
She didn't use those words, but basically everything she was saying was encompassing that. And she was talking to a father. She had just signed books for the mom and the daughters. And he noticed that she doesn't interview men for this. And he's like, hey, I experience it also.
Yeah.
Because they would rather see me die up on my white horse than fall off.
Yeah.
So, and he's like, it's not just men.
It's
also
the
women.
Yeah.
So I never realized that. Like I love the fact, and sorry, I don't think Shane will feel anything about me talking about this, but I have never felt that Shane was less manly because he can be emotional with me.
Yeah.
Ever.
I don't think that's the thing that, I mean, I love it when guys cry. It's fucking great.
Yeah.
It literally is my favorite thing in the world because
I love when a man cries.
I love it because I feel like it's rare. It's like seeing a unicorn.
Yes.
But I honestly feel like at that point that they're like bearing their souls because it's such a, now this is where it gets tricky, because I feel like there have been certain men that know that and use that as a manipulation thing.
Yes.
They know that women, that's where it's bad all around, because mm-hmm. then they know if I show you this small part of me that nobody's supposed to see, then you're going to be like, oh, he cried in front of me when I tried to leave him for punching me in the face. And so now I have to feel really, yeah. really bad because I can't not feel bad. Like, yeah. you know what I mean? So, but I love when men, especially when they get, Corey, he never listens, so I'm allowed to say this. So don't, if anybody listens, don't tell my boyfriend.
Nobody tell Corey.
Then I'm going to tell the story. But he has watched LeBron James since he was young. Mm. Like, since LeBron was an Akron young. Like, that has been his, like, idol. He loves, yeah. he fucking loves sports. So when LeBron won recently, he won in Los Angeles, he won another championship.
Yeah, with the Lakers.
Even though
so Corey, like, with sports.
Yeah. I don't fucking know. Even though
he played the sport with the ball and he won, they gave him a ring. He's the best.
He's so good. Even though it wasn't with the Cavs, which is Corey's team, Corey was like, it's not even about the team right now, it's about LeBron. That is my yes. fucking dude.
Yes.
So when they gave him the MVP award, Corey cried. And I was like, and I came down, and it wasn't like,
yeah.
you know, it was like just the silent tears.
Yes.
And I was like, are you fucking crying right now? He was like, I'm just really happy for him.
Yeah.
Like, this is my idol and he's getting it again. And I just feel, and I was like, I love you so much right now. This is the most amazing thing.
I just loved you more.
Because it's like an empathy, and that's such a vulnerable, they're not supposed to show that.
Right.
They're not supposed to, again, in quotes, but like, they're not supposed to show vulnerability and empathy, which yeah. I think is the most attractive thing in a human being. If yeah. you can show empathy, right there, he was feeling that happiness and that excitement for somebody that he's looked up to his whole life. And yeah. I'm like, I love that you were being vulnerable, but it pissed me off because he was trying to hide it from me.
Yes.
Like, hardcore,
because
did not want me to see
to.
It.
Yeah.
And I was like, let me fucking see.
let me get that tear.
He's like doing it, and then I'm just watching him. Like,
yeah, that's that stuff I like.
Straight up staring at him. He's like, are you crying?
I'm
like,
do you have a lady boner right now?
I'm like, I'm crying because I'm so turned on.
Shane will be like, I think I'm due for a good cry. I really want like one of those like I can't breathe cries. And I'm like, yeah,
yeah,
you do.
Yeah.
Yeah,
yeah,
yeah.
Can you videotape it? I'll watch it later.
In slow motion.
No, but for real, I think, guys, please. Hey, even if you don't want it to be around people, I get that it's a shame thing, but freaking experience emotion. You're yeah. supposed to, and it's cathartic. It's nice when yeah. you can.
I wonder if the guys who listen cry. Hey, if you're a guy who listens, send us a picture of you crying.
For real, I will. I was going to say I'll get turned on, but then they're like, no, don't send me a dick pic, send me a picture of you crying.
Yes. Could you imagine that's the new sexting?
Dude, I bet it works.
Send me you being emotionally vulnerable.
Literally, send me you being emotionally vulnerable, not your penis.
Please don't. Don't. You mentioned something.
Okay.
I guess we're over, but
whatever. Who cares?
You
People
mentioned...
can shut it off if you want to. If not, let's keep going.
You mentioned your abusive
relationship.
Oh, yeah, relationship.
Let's go into it.
Well, I'm not going to like quiz you, but I wrote down some things because I wanted to challenge myself to
okay.
talk about things that I felt actual shame about. And one of mine was my abusive relationship.
Same.
So I
That's
live in the same
one.
Neighborhood mm-hmm. as him. And I went on a walk and saw him
mm-hmm.
and all of those like triggers came back, and I still feel stupid because it's been 10 years.
Yeah.
But I still feel all of those things. But it's
I don't
because
think it will go away.
It's
for
because
a while.
Well, one, I haven't been to therapy. But two, I was made to feel crazy.
Yep.
For thinking that I was abused.
Yeah.
And
yeah.
when I was in that, I knew it was wrong. Mm-hmm. I knew what he was doing with the habitual lying and the just chronic cheating, mm-hmm. and when it was physical and when it was scary and the threats. Like, I knew those things were wrong, but I couldn't tell my family they were wrong because they told me that he was bad.
Yes. So then it's like, the whole thing is, that's why people are like, Sierra, why did you hide it for as long? I'm hijacking yours, but piggybacking onto it. But why do you hide it for so long? And it's because you told me what was going to happen. People told me what was going to happen. And I defended the person even afterwards.
Yep. You don't know.
And so then I would have to be extremely vulnerable. Mm-hmm. And I couldn't be that vulnerable. I had to, the easiest thing to do was to deny, even to myself, even when I knew it was wrong. Listen to his lies. He was telling me the whole truth.
Drink the freaking Kool-Aid.
Oh, for sure. Because it's so much easier. Then I don't have to admit everything I did wrong, everything I knew I shouldn't have let continue. And I let continue because of the good that came with it.
Right.
The small little bits of adrenaline and things that I got along with it. So that is probably one of the biggest things that I have guilt and shame over.
It made me feel stupid. I felt so dumb, and I couldn't let people know that I felt dumb.
That was it too.
I couldn't let people know that I felt small.
And I was, and I feel like I was dumb because for me before
I'm just nodding my head like, yeah, you
fucking dumb. But like before that, I was like, I was the type of person that was like, if he hits you and you stay, you dumbass, like, what is wrong with you? That was literally me. I hear people that say that now, and I'm like, but wait. You don't know. Trauma bonding is real.
Yeah.
But like there were things that, so when I said that and I knew that I thought those women were stupid, when I continued to stay, even though I couldn't, I didn't understand why I stood, why I stayed, but I knew I couldn't not stay.
Yeah.
Now I know that there was like a chemical reason and like, you know, but I felt stupid because I knew that the people that I thought were stupid who did that were just like me.
You didn't want to be, you didn't want to lump yourself in a category of people that you looked at as stupid.
Yeah.
And that was the same as me. Yeah. Like I felt the
same thing. I told
you
when you were in it and you told me when I was in it and we were both like.
But I never told you you were dumb.
No.
Because I remember telling Sierra, I was like, listen, because there were times where you were messaging me and you're like, you dumbass bitch. I swear to God, I'll never see you again. And I was like, I love you.
Yeah.
You can be angry at me. I'm not going anywhere. And you're
like,
very mad. Fuck, you're not. Blah, blah, blah.
Dude, well, here's the thing.
No, important. I don't blame you or judge you for anything you said to me at that time.
This is important for all abuse victims. I just posted something about this the other day. But when you are in an abusive anything, I'm talking like parents or anything, you absorb some of that. Your survival techniques become abusive as well.
Yeah,
so when you get out of it, you have to unlearn. I was a fucking toxic piece of shit.
Listen.
Back to people. But what I had to do was he knew everything that was going on. So I was regurgitating his lines. And I was like, I was evil to you. I was evil to my mom. I was evil to my dad. Like, I was evil to people.
I will never say that you're evil.
What?
You can call yourself evil. I'll never say that you're evil because you were a victim.
Yeah.
You were a victim in that situation. You were a victim of circumstance. And yes, you had the option to leave. But I know how difficult it is to leave in that situation.
Yeah.
And I'm never going. And I told you this. I would never, ever look at you as anything but a victim in that situation. And so for whatever you said to me, however you needed, that was survival. That was survival technique.
Because to me, I had to be on his side or else
exactly.
I didn't know what was going to happen.
Because if he ever saw anything you said to me where you agreed with me because he did not like me, then
was
what would
my
happen
life.
To you?
Yeah.
Exactly. And I would never, ever, ever judge you or think less of you for having to pull a survival technique in that moment.
Yeah, but it's important to remember that this is back to the shame thing. It's important to remember, because I just posted this, but it was like when you are unlearning the toxic or unlearning you know, after you get abused and you leave an abusive situation, you have to unlearn those survival techniques and whatever. I mean, I had a lot of toxic traits that I brought into me and Corey's relationship because of that. And he had to be like, hey, I'm not him. Yeah. You have to stop. Yeah. And I would be like, deny. And then I just had to be like, hey, Sierra, if you want this to continue, you have to stop.
Yeah.
Because he's telling you the truth right now and you're trying to deflect and deny and you're being the person that you just left.
Right.
So you have to stop doing that. But it's hard because you just like absorb that.
No. And Shane and I did the same thing when we got together, because Shane would pull these things that was like, okay, so another thing Brene talked about. I really feel like I went to therapy with her and I'm just like letting you guys know what she told me.
I love her so much.
But one of the things she talked about was the difference between guilt and shame.
Yeah.
And
which we talked about a little in the last one. So
yes,
if you want
to
go
way
listen.
She said it was like,
oh, much better probably.
No, well, it was more condensed, but way she worded it, Shane texted me and he goes, I'm crying in my cubicle.
Oh, I love that.
But when
you're like lady boner.
But when I heard that he was crying in his cubicle, like Drake, I knew exactly what he was talking about, because when I heard that, I went, whoo, and then I started crying.
Yes.
So she said, guilt is I did something bad.
Yes,
shame is I am bad.
Yeah.
And guilt is I'm sorry I made a mistake. Shame is I'm sorry I am a mistake.
Yes.
And Shane lives in the world of I am bad, I am a mistake.
Same.
And so anytime I say something to him like, this bothers me, or hey, I'm having these feelings, I'm triggered by something you did, his initial response usually was, I'm horrible.
Oh, sorry,
I'm worthless. I suck.
Yeah.
I'm
a piece of shit.
Yes.
And that was me.
Was like, yo, not what I said.
Relax. This isn't about you. We can't work through this if you're just going to take that. And that's such an unhealthy way to.
You're like, it's me. I'm unhealthy.
Shane, I can say this because I am you.
Yeah.
That was literally what I would do. And I was like, whoa, this is toxic, because he couldn't even get a word in. And I would be like, I guess I'm a fucking piece of shit. Then why don't you just leave me? And he's like, well, first of all, relax. Because it's not even that deep. Like,
yeah.
I just said I didn't like that you left your bowl out or whatever.
I did that the other day, though, because, like, okay, you know how you said that
sometimes it's fun to be dramatic? I can't help it.
I catch myself laughing.
Me too. I'm like, he.
You remember last week when you said that shame can come out as
anger?
Yes, as anger. I caught myself in that.
Yes.
So, my parents dropped
off
food.
You're like embarrassed.
Yes. My parents dropped off food for Thanksgiving. And
I have a story about that if we get to the thing that we were going to talk about, but go on.
Okay. So, well, now we have to.
Well, we can. If not, it's fine.
We'll go there.
Everybody will forget in a little bit.
So my parents dropped off food. And while they were there, we talked politics. We'd love to talk politics.
Yes.
We're on the same page. And Shane was getting ready to say something. He was talking about the voter turnout.
Mm-hmm.
And I, as soon as he said voter turnout, I go, you know whose turnout really mattered was all the indigenous people in like Arizona, Nevada came out, really showed out, really put things over the top.
Yes.
And so I thought, and Shane did this thing where he like went, oh, and like lift, tossed his head back. And I thought like, oh yeah, I read his mind.
Yeah.
I finished his sentence. We are in
the same.
He and I, one brain. And my parents left and he goes, you cut me off there. You cut me off three times. And I was getting ready to say something. And that was the last straw. I had had it. And I go, I thought you tossed your head back. And went,
we were on the same.
You agreed with me like deeply. And he goes, no, that was just like the straw that broke the camel's back. And I got angry because I was
embarrassed.
I felt guilty that I cut him off, because I don't want him to feel like I don't value what he has to say, or I don't think what he has to say is important or as important as what I have to say. And I regret that my parents aren't there anymore for him to finish his sentence.
Yes.
Because I want him to finish his sentence. And so I start aggressively putting laundry away. And he comes in to help me. And he's like, it's okay. I know you didn't mean it.
You're
I
like,
just wanted
I need
you to make because I just wanted to make you aware so that the next time you know that it bothers me. Yeah. And I go, it's fine. We're just having a hard time. Our relationship is in ruins. We can't communicate anymore. And he's like, what the fuck? And I was like,
I think I really went dramatic. I went off the fucking deep end.
You know what? Let's just fucking break up.
That's because the kid's in the living room. Family meeting.
Mom and dad don't know each other anymore. Mom can't read dad's social cues.
I feel so stupid.
No, but I get it.
I aggressively reacted because I was embarrassed.
Yes.
And thank God we had that episode because I'm like, Jerry, you're being like this because you're embarrassed and you feel guilty.
Yes.
Just tell him you feel guilty.
Stop trying to break up with me.
Because that's a vulnerability thing. And in our whole lives, I feel like we have to put up defense, defense to vulnerability. You can't feel vulnerable because that's a weakness.
You know what she said?
You can't have a weakness.
She said that vulnerability is the key to being a wholehearted person.
Aww.
So having courage, compassion, connection, and vulnerability is the key to being a wholehearted person.
And I fucking cried when I watched that because I was thinking of this podcast and how I was like, I'm embarrassed because I put so much out there. And I think people tell me all the time, not to toot my own horn, but beep,
toot
beep.
Toot it.
Toot it. But recently, because like I said, I'm not gonna lie that I was a toxic piece of shit back when I was in survival mode, but it's okay, and right. I get why I was, but I'm not, I mean, that's what it was. But so recently people have been like, Sierra, I'm so proud of you and the person you've become is so awesome. And I am, sometimes Corey tells me, he's like, hey, you don't have to tell the world everything. And I'm like, I fucking want to. But for me, it is that vulnerability feels like a weight is lifted off of my chest, because if I tell the world everything, then I feel like I'm not doing, it feels like the total opposite of what I was doing, which is don't tell anybody anything.
There's something exactly what you said. I have to find it.
Oh, please do.
Oh, I found it. Okay. So she said that if you put shame in a petri dish, it will grow and multiply and get worse in secrecy, silence, and judgment.
Yes.
And I feel like because
that's
we
exactly
get things,
what I was doing.
Yes. If you get it off your chest, and it says the antidote is empathy.
Ah.
And so when we have these conversations and we're able to be honest with each other and show each other empathy, and then we show empathy, I guess, for our audience, and when they show it back to us, it is vulnerability heals.
Is the cure.
Yes.
It literally is the cure to shame. That's what I feel like. I don't have shame anymore. I'm getting rid of it because of how vulnerable I'm being and how maybe I'm saying too much, but I think it's the cure. I think it's healing me and I feel better because of it.
She says vulnerability is the birthplace for innovation, creativity, and change.
Oh, I love that.
So, and I feel like that's a huge...
It really is. It really... Well, we talked about with creativity, because you have to be extremely vulnerable to get into a... I didn't realize that until I started to be creative, how vulnerable you have to get to, like, put that creativity out there, I guess.
Yeah. To, like, give... It's like... Okay, so here's the thing. This actually is a segue to the thing we were you were hoping we probably wouldn't get to.
No, that's okay.
So another thing that I have always felt shame and embarrassment for is my miscarriages.
Mm-hmm.
And it's because I always felt like my body is designed to do this thing and it can't.
Yeah. And it's so easy for other people to do it.
Right.
People do it on accident.
Right. And as a woman, this is what your this is your job.
You're modeled to do this,
right?
Yeah.
And so, whenever we had both of our losses, we had to do something about it. And so, like, we wrote a song after our first loss. We were obsessed with finding out the gender so we could name the baby.
Yes.
We wanted to name the baby so badly, and because we didn't make it to the point where we could find out the gender, we wrote a song about, will I know your name? Will you know who I am? Whenever I see you again, will we know each other? And we put that out there. We, like, shared it.
Sorry.
You can keep going.
We shared it with everyone because we felt like it's not fair for us to keep this. Other people might feel these things. And the response that we got from it was huge. And yeah. It was like a healing moment for us, but for other people as well, because we were brave enough to be vulnerable. And mm-hmm. and being vulnerable is one of the bravest things you can do.
Absolutely.
And we did it the same when we lost Jonah. Was we wrote another song and shared it with people. And then I wrote the book as well to do that because it was, you know, again, an opportunity to be vulnerable and share with people. And almost like, it's almost like I have this backpack full of bricks.
Yeah.
And when I create things like that and I share them, and I feel that way about the podcast. When we create the podcast, it's almost like I'm passing it out. And it's like we have people to help us hold all of it.
Yes. It's very nice.
Yeah.
Sorry, I got emotional there. I am currently going through what she's talking about. That's why I got emotional. And I feel like it's a lot of feelings.
Yeah.
Because I feel like it's very early and I am miscarrying right now, as we speak. It's a lot, you guys.
You're using humor.
I'm coping with laughter, but it's what I wanted, the story I wanted to tell you about.
Yeah.
Shame and so we told people
mm-hmm.
because I had a healthy pregnancy with my son. So right. when I saw that when I peed on that stick, immediately I was like, oh my God, right. here it is. And I'm good. And because I was good the whole time, it'll be no big deal.
And it was a digital one. So yeah. straight up so that, said the word.
And those are hard to turn. Like, you got to have strong. It has to be strong. It can't be like, maybe it's like.
Right. No, straight up.
That is it.
Yeah.
And they've told me, you know, you don't, those, there aren't false positives. Right. So like, if you are, you are. So we told people, we were at Thanksgiving and I went to the bathroom mm-hmm. and started bleeding pretty bad.
Yeah.
Pretty much enough to know that like, this isn't good. And I was like, okay, I have to go home. First of all, immediately started feeling like panic,
right?
Anxiety, but also shame because I'm like, my body is failing.
Right.
And so I'm like, come on, Noah, we got to go. And he's like, no, I want to stay. I want to play. And I was like, come on.
Right.
Started immediately being too mean. And I feel, first of all, embarrassed that I did. But I was embarrassed because all of these people there know. And as I'm leaving, they're still saying things about it. Right. You know, people are still talking about it. And I'm too embarrassed to tell them that it. What's happening.
Right.
So I'm just like, bye. I go out. I feel.
Your only option is to break up with Corey and never see any of those people ever again. Move across the country. Change your name.
Sorry. I don't know who you are.
Truly, in that moment, that seems easier.
Because I was like, I don't want these people to ever talk to me.
Yes.
I don't. Before that, I used to say all the time, well, I don't understand. I would tell people early because even if I go through a miscarriage, I would want that support system.
Right.
And I didn't realize how hard it is to then have to tell those people, hey, remember how excited you just were?
Because you feel like you're responsible for letting them down.
I let them down.
Yep.
That literally was exactly how I felt. It was, I let all of you down. It was hard for me. I couldn't even tell Corey.
Mm-hmm.
It was like almost impossible. He took it so much better than I did. I thought it was going to be worse, but I was like, hey, man, guess what?
Yeah.
But I felt like I'm letting you down. This is your mm-hmm. first. Yeah. And like you were so excited. We were all, everybody was so excited. And so I'm like,
I had such a good time with my first. So
sorry. I ruined yours. But that's what it felt like. Yeah. I have felt it when I was in the abusive relationship. That was the level of shame and guilt that I felt, and embarrassment. I just felt embarrassed. And people keep texting me and they're like, you okay? I'm like, yo, I am fucking good. But I'm not.
No.
But I mean, I'm going to be. I know that. But right now, it's
having
like,
that conversation.
I know that there's nothing that anybody can do. Yeah. There's nothing anyone can do.
Then that's
do
the
anything.
Hard part is that, like, you can't logic your way out of the emotion.
Yeah.
And that's...
It's a lot of hormones.
Oh, my God. It's the worst.
Yeah. Well, everything I've read and I've talked to doctors and they're like, you will physically be fine, but emotionally, it's probably going to take you a bit. It doesn't matter. Here's the thing. It doesn't matter how early it is. Once you pee on that stick and see the result, you start planning a future. Whether you want... In your mind, you can be like, it's too early. But your body... You stop eating certain things. You stop drinking certain things.
Right.
You start preparing for someone else's life physically. So emotionally,
you picture what they're
gonna
look
mentally,
like.
Yep. Yeah, you start doing it. You think about names. And yep. I mean, I literally was doing that already. I was watching shows and I was like, oh, I kind of like that name. Like it was,
yes.
It was early, but at the same time, you can't not.
Yeah.
Because
if not, if you don't start thinking that way early, when do you start?
Exactly. When are you able to?
Right.
And like I said, you have to do everything physically, so it has to be in your mind. Because you can't live the same life that you were living.
Right.
You can't eat friggin' lunch meat. You have to change. You can't drink as many cups of coffee as you were drinking.
Yeah.
Like, things on that level has to change. So whether or not you want it to be in your mind, it has to.
Right.
And then you're having physical symptoms as well. So, like...
Right.
Why not be excited about it? Because that's the only good shit that's in the first, you know? Yeah. So it's just, even though it was early, it was still like devastation of, it was a loss of a future that you were looking forward to and picturing. And now it's not there anymore. So that sucks.
Okay, sorry to like talk about my song, but the lyrics in the song were in love with a memory that never had the chance to be realized. So it was like I had... imagine this life for this baby and I miss those moments that I made up in my fucking head.
Me too That's how I feel.
Yes.
And I literally keep thinking about moments that I keep remembering missing, the moments that
never occurred,
but never happened.
Yes.
And won't happen.
Yes.
And
I have a memory of me and this baby that never existed. Yep. Of us on the rug of my old house teaching them to walk.
Yes.
That never happened. It never fucking happened.
But now you miss that. Now you have a, now you miss
I long
it.
For that moment.
Me too.
Mm-hmm.
That's how I feel. Of Noah with this new baby and just think, and I know how good of a brother he would have been. And it's just like, it's just, you feel guilty. Mm-hmm. I feel guilty. Yep. Even though I didn't do it, I did do it, but I
didn't.
But it feels like I did because
could have been Corey.
Because it's
I'm kidding.
Truly,
could have been. I'm kidding.
But it feels like because it's happening to me, and that's what he just keeps saying. He's like, "I'm so sorry, this is happening to you," and I'm like, "Yeah, fucking same." Because it's a lot. It's also just a really hard physical toll on your body. And emotionally, your hormones are raging. So I don't think that that helps either.
No.
But it's one of the most, it's one of the guiltiest feelings I've had. It's very bizarre. It's very bizarre.
Well, we're in a really cool club with Chrissy Teigen and now the friggin' Duchess.
Meghan Markle. I didn't realize.
Meghan Markle. Meghan Markle.
I didn't realize until I saw
Do you think
that
she wants my book?
You should give it to her just in case. I didn't realize until I almost read the article and I was like, I'm not ready to read that yet.
No,
let's see. There's so many things that we could talk about. But then I feel embarrassed now when I'm scrolling through Facebook and I see people who are pregnant that I was like, oh, we're pregnant together. And now we're not anymore. And I'm like, I feel embarrassed. But they don't know. They didn't know. But I feel like they, for some reason, are looking at me and they're like, oh, we can't be pregnant friends anymore. That was in my head.
Yes.
That we were pregnant friends. They don't know. But now I'm like, I can't even look at you.
You know.
Because I failed you or whatever. It's
but
so
you didn't.
Silly.
You
know
didn't.
I didn't.
You did not.
Scientifically, I know. But
I know.
Hormonally. I am not
That's
there
the
yet.
The most bullshit thing ever is that sucks. You can have all of
I'm
this.
I'm logical.
Yes.
But God bless these hormones. They don't get it. They don't get it yet.
Ugh. Well, I'm like glancing over this and I think that.
We never got to the article.
We're never going to get.
Here's the thing, guys. I'm just going to give you the name of the article. Just Google how to help kids deal with embarrassment. It's from childmind.org.
I bet we kind of helped.
Oh, yeah. I mean, basically all you have to do is like the whole thing of it is that you can't protect your kids from embarrassment, but you can help them build resilience and confidence. So all you have to do is like, don't freak out when your kid tells you something and just like it, show them how you are helping. Hopefully you guys just listen to friggin' Brene Brown.
Yeah.
And then teach that to your kids.
Just let Brene Brown talk to your kids.
For real, because she should
assign them a daily podcast, maybe weekly.
Yeah.
And then they can write an essay or something. I don't know. What do kids do?
Who knows?
Not me. Okay. Well, love you.
Love you.
Okay. And we love you guys.
We love you so much.
Thanks for being with us, Journal.
Yeah, for real. Thanks for letting us be super fucking vulnerable.
Yeah, and not making us feel weird about it. But like, I do feel weird about it. Yeah. But like,
and if you do, keep it to your fucking selves.
Yes.
Don't let us know.
Yeah. All of you who do reach out to us and thank us and like share your stuff
with us.
That's
amazing because you are what keeps us going. Trust me, we probably would have quit so long ago.
Oh my God. For sure.
Yeah.
So, okay. We'll, and also, I don't know what we're going to be back with next week. I don't want to put pressure on it. Something that I feel weird about is after we have too many serious in a row, I feel obligated to do a funny one because I'm like, Jerry, give them what they want.
You got to get the audience back.
Yeah. Hit them with the laughs. Yeah. Hit them with the ha-ha funnies, you know? Yeah. You don't want to get them in the sad sack for too long. So, but I'm not going to make any promises. We might be in the sack for a while.
We're feeling very vulnerable, so.
Okay. We'll be back next week with something maybe happy, but also maybe probably not. Okay. All we're right. out.
Goodbye.
Hear that? It's the call of the Crave. And when the Crave calls, you know what to do. Try the $5 bacon bundle, because the only thing better than a White Castle slider is a White Castle slider topped with crispy hickory smoked bacon. So pick any two of either the bacon cheese slider, 1921 bacon cheese slider, or chicken bacon ranch slider. And also get a small fry for just $5 with the $5 bacon bundle. White Castle. Follow your Crave.
When you need mealtime inspiration, it's worth shopping Kroger, where you'll find over 30,000 mouthwatering choices that excite your inner foodie. And no matter what tasty choice you make, you'll enjoy our everyday low prices, plus extra ways to save, like digital coupons worth over $600 each week. You can also save up to $1 off per gallon at the pump with fuel points. More savings and more inspiring flavors make shopping Kroger worth it every time. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Fuel restrictions apply.